Welcome to Mentors on the Mic podcast and the final part of our special bonus mini series with Heidi Dean. I'm your host, Michelle Simone Miller, a New York City native actress with credits in TV, film, commercials, and off-Broadway. Check out interviews on the podcast from four seasons with Emmy-winning producers, showrunners, writers, agents, casting directors, other actors, series regulars, you name it. And today we are continuing an incredible four-part miniseries with top social media strategist for actors, Heidi Dean. She is a social media writer for Backstage Magazine, a frequent speaker at film festivals, SAG-AFTRA conferences, podcasts, and universities across the country. Her clients include Emmy Award winners, Broadway stars, series regulars, directors, producers, casting directors, and voice actors. So part one, we talked all about ways actors can use Instagram during the strike and how this is the perfect time to develop our social media strategy. Part two, our second episode, we had Heidi share three tips for going viral on Instagram, one of her number one questions that she gets asked. Last week, we talked about how to utilize highlights on Instagram and how it can lead to jobs or even bookings. This week, we are going over everything else. No, just kidding, but it is a lot. I took some of your social media questions and just went through them one by one with Heidi. Make sure to stay to the end to hear about Heidi's gift for us. If you haven't downloaded yet, really, it's incredible. Without further ado, here's Heidi Dean. Hi, Heidi. Welcome to Mentors on the Mic.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. I've been following your content for I don't even know how long between your Instagram, between your YouTube, and between your mailing list, which has so much incredible information. For those in our audience who don't know who you are, can you just give us a little idea of your content and what you do and how long you've been doing it?
Yes, I'm a social media strategist for actors. I work with actors, content creators, producers, series regulars, Broadway stars, audiobook narrators, voiceover, the voice artists, you know, you name it in the business. I work with them behind the scenes or with my classes. I have a popular blog called marketingforactors.com, and that's the number four if you're tuning in just with audio. So that blog I started in 2015. I was already managing social media accounts at the time, but I realized no one was helping the every actor. That's what I said, right? You know, you could only really get social media help back then if you had, you know, social media training. If you had media training, you had PR, you had a lot of money. And so I started my blog really just to help actors clean up their social, learn strategy. And within a year, it just took off. And then the rest is really history with that. I've spoken just about anywhere, SAG-AFTRA, Equity, SAG Foundation, podcasts, film festivals all over the world. So that's a little bit about me. I have a fun life. My daughter, who's 8, Tallulah, says mommy works on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter, even though she doesn't even know what those things are. So,
but she knows. She's heard them all her life. Oh, that's so lovely. I mean, it's great that you do this and it's great that you're that resource for people, because I feel like, and I've talked to a lot of PR experts on the podcast, but a lot of times what they'll tell people is you should start this earlier. Start this before you think, you know, you're booking something and then I'll start. But by the time you go to those PR teams, they often ask the same questions in a way that you could have started your social media. You could have started, you know, figuring out what your Google presence is prior to coming to them, prior to having something big to post.
The worst time to ever start using social media is when you have a big booking, right? You need to be focused on being the best actor you can be and showing up and doing your job. The last thing you need to be doing is learning how to use Instagram. That is something you could be doing right now, right? So that when the opportunity is there, you're ready. You do not want to be doing that when something, you know, when you book it.
That's a really good point, especially if you're so not good at this stuff, but if you know some of the trends, if you know, you know, what kind of content you'd want to collect while you're on set, that stuff will feel like nothing. It won't feel like extra work. It won't feel, you know, stressful. It'll feel like, oh, okay, I could just kind of do this in my sleep and then I'll go back to like making sure I'm ready for set. And so it'll all feel fluid. It won't feel stressful. So the trick is to start doing now, even with baby steps, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's all about baby steps and really knowing that, you know, your social media isn't just about your bookings. It's not at all. It's about your journey of being an actor, but it's also peeling back the curtain and giving us a little behind the scenes into something beyond the projects you book. Because your audience, they want to know, you know, they want to know about your booking, if you can post about it, of course. But also, they want to know how they are just like you. Right? That's what they want to know. And as your following grows, as your career grows, most of your followers will not be actors. So you have to let us into something beyond that. And it's so crucial for your strategy. So why wait till you book something to share that part of your life?
100%. Well, let's dive in because I have so many questions that I've gotten from listeners, from friends, from actors. So now I'm going to do almost like an ask you anything type list of questions because I know a lot of people who just had questions and I was like, I think we could just go through them and just see what you thought, see some of your thoughts on them. So one would be, do you have any thoughts on how people can build their brand on Instagram? That's something that people ask a lot and they're curious about.
Do we have like 2 hours?
I know, right?
let's start small.
Let's do a full thing on that alone.
Okay. So I'll give you kind of my pillar strategy, that I take actors and my students in my classes through, for Instagram strategy, and it builds on everything before it. Okay. So the first thing we always talk about is how to tell your story online, you know, yes, on Instagram, but you're going to be telling that same story across social, right? So first we have to figure out, yes, what makes you you as an actor, but what makes you you as a human, right? Instagram's like the movie of you that you get to direct, you get to star in. You also get to decide what scenes are on the cutting room floor. So that's when I say how to tell your story. I do an exercise with my students and clients called putting the me in your social media. And we really do this big brainstorm, uncovering what makes them them. And then we set limits and boundaries. And we actually define what I call your nanyas. Your nanyas are those things in an interview that are off limits that you would tell that host nanya business. Right? So we figure out what makes you you. We exclude those nanyas, which are different for everyone. And then what's left is your brand story, right? So let's figure out, you're an actor, but what left here? What would you want to grow an audience around, right? What would you want to talk about online? So we find those 2 to 3 things, acting, something else. We figure out your vibe. And there you go. There's your base for everything you're going to do online. Then the next tier, so that's the foundation, right? The next tier is we really rock out your first impression on Instagram. And we make sure that that first impression reflects that story that you are telling. Okay. And that, yes, that means your bio, your profile, your highlight bubbles, right? And it does then extend to your posting strategy, but that's a whole nother level on its own, right? So you're telling your story. Oh, I guess I don't even know if anyone can see me. I'm like using my arms and everything. And
we'll do both.
Okay. Great.
We'll share both.
I'm like doing choreography and I realize
I love it. Okay. You're a lot of gestures. It's great.
So first level, how to tell your story, first impression. And then next is your posting strategy and really creating a posting strategy around that story that we're telling. Okay. And yes, that does involve figuring out what hashtags to use ahead of time, figuring out what features on the app may better tell that story. Then only after we have the posting strategy in place do I ever want you to even get set up for a networking strategy and really getting organized for success. And then we talk collaborations. So how to collaborate with other accounts, how to use engagement strategies to grow an audience who are going to like that story. It all goes back down to the foundational level of who are you and what story are you going to tell online? Okay. So I would say that's the best way to build your brand. Figure out how to tell your story, first impression, get your posting strategy in place, networking strategy, and then those collaboration and engagement strategies to grow.
Such great wisdom. Thank you so much. And I think this goes right into my next question, which is, can you tell us a little bit about your process, right? So first, how did you start? And I assume you started sort of doing this by yourself and creating all this in your content by yourself. But then how do you then continue it now that you have a team to help?
Yeah, good question. So I started in social media management. So running accounts for multiple people. Organization is a strong point for me. If you're a social media manager, it has to be. So organization, like, you know, I already came from that world of knowing how to run multiple accounts, knowing how to actually schedule things out, you know, scheduling out my time, which is so important if you're a social media manager. I know how to get in, get out, and move on to the next account, right? So I think think my background in that really set me up for success once I did launch my blog in 2015 was that I knew how to do that. I wasn't wasting any time. I used to edit every single YouTube video on iMovie by myself. I trained myself. And I'll be honest, like for anyone here that, you know, wants to start a YouTube channel, wants to, you know, create their own content, use what you have. Most of the videos that I have that created this, you know, don't want to say empire, but yes, I help a lot of people.
Yeah, you do. And also you have a lot of different channels on different platforms.
It all started with what I had. It started with iMovie. It started with shooting on my phone, right? I still shoot on my phone, by the way. Even though I have a fancy camera, I even hate to say I bought a fancy camera and I have never used it because my video on my phone is amazing. So use what you have. Okay. And what was interesting, the best thing I could have ever done was not outsource my video in the first place because it forced me to watch myself, which I know actors don't like to do. And like, nobody likes to do it, but I had to watch myself on video over and over and over again. So guess what? I got much better writing hooks. I got much better, you know, going to analytics and watching my audience retention graphs and saying, oh, I got to speed that up. Doing it on my own was the best thing I could have done. Had I outsourced, I would have lost all control on what was kept and what wasn't. Right. So yes, I started doing everything on my own. Right now at the time of this recording, what is it? July 28th, yes. 2023. So I still run all of my social media myself. Nobody touches my social, and I love that because I teach social. It's important for me to not outsource that because then how do I teach? There's a lot of big marketing experts in the social media space that don't even run their social. Like, how do you teach if you're not doing it? Right.
Right.
So I run all my social. If you get a direct message from me, if I comment, that is me. That's not an assistant. Now I do have a assistant who helps me with my inbox.
Thank
you, Keith. I could not live without you.
What about editing now?
Editing, I do have editors. So in 2020,
that's what I would delegate.
2020, right before the pandemic, actually, thank goodness, because I got so busy during the pandemic. It was my 40th birthday, which I was on vacation right before February 27th, 2020. So just everyone knows the dates. I was away for my birthday. Yay, 40. And it was the first time I had handed off a ton of videos to editors, and I was sitting by the pool and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the best thing ever. Somebody is spending hours on this, not me. And it was like this magical moment because I had worked so hard, you know, that somebody else was doing it. So it was in 2020 that I did get video editors, and but I still do my short form content. Occasionally they add little like fun things I can't figure out how to do, but they do all my long form YouTube content.
So great.
And then I do have an assistant that helps me because I have a Tech Savvy Actor membership where I teach social. Like, we have lots of Q&As every single month with me, and it's impossible for me to run a Zoom chat and help the members live without having someone.
100%.
So I have a assistant that helps me run all the calls. So, but I started from just me doing my own videos, doing my own blogs, building my own websites, like just learning and figuring it out.
I think that would really inspire people to hear, especially because of how much, like, if someone goes and tries to do a deep dive into all of your stuff, they'll see, A, you've been doing this, like you said, for a long time, but also that, you know, that is something that could happen, right? At some point in time, you could be doing all this for yourself, and then at some point be in a position where you can delegate and outsource certain things out. But it doesn't mean that you need to start off with that. You don't need to start off with a team, and you're proof of that.
Yeah.
What is your process right now for taking a video and then breaking it down into all the different platforms you use, right? YouTube, mm-hmm. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, you have so many different platforms that you utilize. Also your blog. I mean, there's just so many. Sometimes your blog specifically refers to video, and sometimes it refers to written content you write out. So how do you take a piece of content and go, okay, this is how I'm going to break it out into all the platforms?
Yes. So posting is a superpower of mine. I know that posting strategy. It is my superpower, right? For myself, but also for my clients. But more specifically, repurposing is one of my biggest strengths. And I want to put this into context for everyone watching, you know, not just what I do, but think about what your home-based platform is. So for me, I choose a home-based platform. What I mean by that is, what is a platform that's the easiest for you to create content? And start there. For me, it's Twitter or X, whatever it's called. It's, wow. we're still tweeting. So it's,
I'm surprised to hear that. I would think it would either be YouTube or Instagram.
Everybody is always shocked to hear that, because 95% of my content is video.
Right.
I'm a words person. I started with the blog. I've actually done like 3 blogs lately, and I'm like, oh, this is nice. I'm back. I'm writing a book right now. I'm like, I'm actually a words person, even though everyone knows me on video. It's easier for me to create content when I write. And so for me, picking that as my home-based platform, I test all my content first on Twitter. If it works, you know, I go to my analytics. If it works, I bring it over to YouTube, and I look at that content and say, can I use this concept, this idea, to tap into a trend? How do I make this visual? Is this a topic for a live or maybe a longer YouTube video? But I start with my strength first, and that keeps me creative. I see some people trying to just start with the platform everyone tells them they should be on, but maybe there's another platform where they could actually, you know, they could have 2, and that other place is actually their strength. They're more of a words person, maybe, or maybe they are more of a video person. Play to your strengths. And that's really been kind of a magical thing for me, to start with my strength and then repurpose from there. Now, if you really dive into my content, you can see I repurpose a lot of pieces of content. So if you go watch a video on my YouTube channel, the first thing I've done when I do that video, I don't just get on camera and talk. I write my hook. And I don't know how this is going to be released. We talked about hooks. It might have been in another podcast episode. So go back and listen to the viral video answer. So the first thing I do when I do my YouTube channels, I write that hook. I write that first part of my video, the hook, and then the promise. So the hook is hooking them in. The promise is, what am I going to deliver? What am I promising that I'm going to teach you in this video, right? And almost always, here's a little secret here. If you go watch that video, the text from the beginning of the video is almost probably always cut and paste and put into my email, because it's what's going to hook people. It's why they care, what matters to them. It's put into an email. It's probably put into an Instagram caption. It's probably then abridged and put into a tweet. Even taking the text, because I've done that work ahead of time, you know, I already know why this matters to my audience. So I kind of repurpose in different ways, but, you know, mapping it out, knowing that is important. It's all strategy. I think a lot of people, they hop on social and they think, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm just going to learn it on my own. And some people do, but there is a lot of strategy involved. It's why I'm called a strategist.
Tremendous amount of strategy. That's why, yeah, you do what you do so well. It's all, yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that you just give us a little insight to some of that strategy, because it's not as intuitive to people, and you have a lot of experience doing this for a really long time. Okay, so some people have asked me to ask you, what are specific days or times that you feel would be best to build the most traffic on socials?
Good question. And probably this is one of the when to post, how often to post, alongside how to go viral, probably the biggest questions I get asked. And to be really honest, when to post, it's different for everyone. It's different for every account. If you ever read an article that gives you exact times, stop reading and run, because most of those articles are written for businesses, and they're analyzing business accounts that might be targeting a 9-to-5 crowd. And is that your audience? It may be, right? So it's really, when to post really goes back to the audience of your account. So what I suggest all of you do that are listening is look at the data, look at the numbers, because it's powerful, right? And I may not have mentioned it in this episode, because I know we're doing multiple. I got to speak to someone at Meta, at Instagram today, right before hopping on. Very, very excited. I will have content on it, in-depth
content. So excited.
But one thing we talked about was when to post, right? And they even suggested, yes, go into your insights. You can, I'm talking Instagram, but this is Facebook, this is Twitter, this is any platform. We have insights, or analytics. It's different, places, and just go in. I'll say Instagram as an example. Go into your insights and click into followers and see who the audience is of your account. You're going to get valuable information about where they're located, This was actually enlightening for me. It was probably 2 years ago. Now I realized that there was some pretty influential people in the UK talking about me and my content. And it was, it's actually skewing my best times to post because, you know, I'm in New York and the, you know, the UK, like I actually should be posting slightly different. Right. So, knowing where our audience is located, knowing their gender to the best of our ability, you know, within the social apps, but that's in there. Also, if you scroll a little bit further in your insights on Instagram, you're going to find best times to post, suggested times to post. Some people have like very different, graphs. I have clients that like clearly Tuesday and Saturday are like the best times for their audience. When you look at mine, it's like flat. Like, so it doesn't matter. I'm picking the best day for me, right? It's like it's the most boring graph ever. But when you can click into that graph and actually see, hours and times. And then what I'm getting more is this. And the head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, has actually said, look at that graph and ride the wave pretty much. We don't want to, a lot of people make the mistake and they post where the wave is at the very top. But then now you're missing all these people that like, there's a lot of people. Right. So kind of ride the wave, experiment with posting here on the wave.
Now, like below, now you have to watch the video. Like at the start of the wave. Almost.
Yes. And, you know, I talked to Instagram today and they did say experiment at different times because you never know. So you do have to test it yourself. But yes, riding that wave, if it's something that's important to you, and I better believe it, if it's a video I want people to see, I'm probably posting on certain days that I know I always post on and earlier in the day, 10 o'clock, 9:30, Eastern Standard Time, you know, keep in mind, your insights in your account are in Pacific Standard Time. It's very important to know.
Oh, thank you for that.
And I confirmed that today on the call with Instagram.
Wow.
It says it. You have to hit the little I and it says all times are in Pacific Standard Time, but it's so hidden. And so you're like, oh, great. I'm riding this wave. But if you're in New York, if you're somewhere else, like you're off by 3 hours, right? Like,
that is so funny. I did not know that, Heidi. So thank you for that.
No problem.
Oh, and then just, I guess we'll just go right into the next question, which is, I mean, already that's answering this in a way, but if you think of anything else, can you talk a little bit about breaking down analytics for Instagram? I feel like I'm myself included. There are certain things I'll be like, oh, okay, I understand that. And then other things I'm like, I have no idea. So that really actually is a huge one right then and there. But is there anything else that comes to mind from analytics that you can share?
Yeah, this is another one. Do we have 2 hours? you know, I like to say there are metrics that matter.
Do you do a workshop just on analytics, by the way? Because I feel like I have not seen it, but I would want to.
Upcoming, it's one of my Tech Savvy Actor trainings in my membership. We're doing analytics training. It has been requested by the members. But I like to say that there are metrics that matter, right? Sometimes those are different for different people, right? I look at the metrics that matter to help me reach my goals, and y'all should too, right? So, obviously, watch time. We've talked about watch time in one of these podcast episodes. Watch time. So in our, you may or may not have watch time on your Instagram account yet for Reels. If you don't, it's rolling out right now. Okay. I actually don't have it yet. I yelled at Instagram today. Well, I didn't. I said, when am I getting my watch time? And they couldn't tell me. But they said it's rolling out to everyone. So we'll have that ability to like click into our Reels and see watch time like we can on TikTok. Right. Right now we have to actually look at reach and impressions and kind of guess. But look at watch time. So important, right? Or if we're talking, you know, YouTube, look at your audience retention graphs. They're the most important thing to look at on YouTube. Anybody that has a YouTube channel, it is fascinating because you're literally watching a graph. And, you know, if your thumbnail is misleading and you're promising something that you're not delivering, your graph is going to be like this. A lot of people's graphs, it starts like this and it goes.
Or it gets down too long to get there. Like sometimes I'll listen to videos and they have a really great hook and I'm listening and all of a sudden they go right into their spiel about who they are. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to listen to
this
right
now. You don't care yet, right? Yeah, you need like a 1 second spiel. A lot of times I don't even introduce myself in my videos. It's on the screen. I have a branded intro. It's super fast because my old one, I could tell like my graph would go down, right? Also, looking at your graphs, you'll start to notice patterns. Like, is there always a time when it goes down? Well, maybe you had this cute idea of something you're doing, and like, it might be cute, but it's not working with your audience. So metrics that matter for video: watch time, audience retention graphs, right? I do look at views and reach, but I look at it for patterns, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a second. Shares, comments are metrics that matter to me more so than likes. I mean, I don't care. Turn off your likes. You can do that on Instagram. You might be happier.
but I think I do, actually.
A lot of people do. I'm suggesting it to anybody that's like obsesses about that. You know, metrics that matter to me is, did somebody share this? Did somebody like this enough to comment? And I don't mean like it, you know, but did they care about this enough to comment, right?
Did they save it?
So those are metrics that matter to me, and we can see those in our insights. And also, what are your goals? Like, for me, website clicks, that matters to me, because like, if I'm sharing a YouTube video, you know, or I'm telling you about like, I have 30 free post ideas, like that's in some of my posts. One of my most important metric is that website click, right? So, really, what is the goal for that post? And, you know, and make sure, you know, that look at your analytics. Did you reach that goal? Okay. What I like to do when I dive into my analytics, I like to look at, you know, number one, well, first pro tip, but simple tip, make sure you're going into your analytics on, we're just going to say Instagram, but anywhere. The default on Instagram is like 7 days. Well, that's great, but how many times did you post in the last 7 days? I don't care, right? Make sure you pull that out to a year or 2 years, whatever, you know, you're analyzing. So then what I like to do is I like to ask myself, what worked? You know, what did people respond to? Is there a theme? Like, is there a pattern? Like, oh, people, I have found that, I don't have a piece of paper, but I found when I take a piece of paper and I do something inspirational, y'all love it. So guess what? I'm going to rinse and repeat and do that again. Right. And I can even visually see, okay, when I do that, people like that. So first look for themes and patterns. Also look for, if something worked, ask yourself if this post can be turned into a series. Right. So maybe you're an actor, but you're also a mom, and you like showed some like really cool gadget that gets you like, that saves you so much time. Maybe now you start a whole series about like, you know, mom hacks part one, part two, that saves you so much time. Right. Can you double down on this idea that was like, that obviously your audience liked, and turn it into a series? Also asking, what else can you explore with the topic? If people liked it, like, what people like when I talk about posting. So I have a whole list of other things I can explore and talk about on that topic. Okay. One of your side things could be, well, not during the strike, but hey, maybe your account is about acting, but also you're a Marvel lover, right? And you're finding every time you talk about a certain character, people love it. So like, or film, right? What else can you explore on that topic? Okay. Also, can this post be repurposed another way? We take things in, everyone processes things differently. So sometimes I'll make a post where I'm talking to camera, and then, you know, I'll do another post that is a picture, right? But I'm exploring, it's the same post. I'm just, people are seeing it a different way. So also for you, can you repurpose this topic, this thing, another way? And then the last thing I'd say is, you know, if a video worked and has a lot of comments, so if you're segmenting by comments, hop into that video and read the comments. Can you create another video from the comments? We can do that on TikTok. We can do that on Instagram. We can hold our finger down, and now we're in the Reels camera, right? So can I create, on this video that has a lot of comments, can I create another video from the comments? Okay. So that's a lot to think on for, go back and rewind and write those down.
Right.
That was money. But
that was.
Seriously, like, those are the questions to ask of like, how do I, you know, not just what analytics matter, but how do I do something with my analytics to produce better content?
So much there. Yes, please take notes next time. This is so good. I'm going to have to listen back and take notes, but luckily I have to edit this so I can. What are some tools you use to create content, or at least tools that you recommend? It might be different now.
Yeah. So like I said, I used iMovie until I hired editors. Yes. And I still use iMovie, actually. I like know all the shortcuts. So, you know, that is something, simple tool that actors can use for self-tapes. And in terms of my vertical video content, I do shoot a lot in the app because I like to practice what I teach. So I know a lot of actors are just shooting short form video in the app. If I was just using fancy fancy outside apps, that doesn't serve them. So I shoot a lot of my stuff right in the app to make sure I know, like, oh, there's an update every day. but I do use a few apps. I use InShot. InShot. I used it before. It was cool. And also I occasionally use CapCut, and they're just, they're, you know, they're video editors. If you've ever seen me on my Instagram where I have things flying through the air and I'm catching things and, or I'm cloning myself. I love doing posts like that, or I'm doing a fancy transition. Most of those I had to probably do in InShot, because you can't clone yourself in Instagram. So that's one of my favorite video tools. And then my favorite tool, which I talk about all the time on social, is Canva, canva.com. I should be like the biggest Canva ambassador ever.
I think you can have like an affiliate link or something.
I do. Well, I do. But what's funny is, as an affiliate, like you get free photos. So let me back up. Canva. So everyone knows. They're like, what's Canva? So Canva's like, it's like do-it-yourself graphic design, and it's like user-friendly. You can use it to create YouTube thumbnails, headers for social, all different types of posts. There are a million ways to use Canva as an actor. I mean, I actually have a whole training on how to use Canva as an actor. It's like that in my tech savvy actors, like, because it's that amazing, and it's totally free to use. You can, the basic version of Canva is free. Occasionally, if you want to like use a certain picture or video in your post, or, you know, image or graphic, it's $1. And that's what their affiliate program is. That's why I said, let me back up, because their affiliate program is every time I refer someone, I get like a free picture. I have hundreds of free pictures, and I'm also on the pro account. Like, I pay for it because I need it as a business. I have more pictures than anyone need pictures?
Why don't they give you money? They should translate that to money. I know.
It would be some money. I have more pictures than I could ever use from Canva, but use Canva. I mean, it will save you so much time. It turns you into a graphic designer. You know, when you can post about a booking, you know, beyond the strike, and you know, when you're allowed to post about it, you can make little booked-in announcements that are really super professional, because let's face it, most actors are not given any promotional materials unless you're at a certain level, right? So you can make really professional booking announcements to put on your feed. So I would say InShot, Canva, my phone would say those are your two most used apps. So
love it. This is so helpful. And then just, I think, only a couple more questions. Do you recommend talking to your audience directly, or finding trends that can incorporate your client content? Or I guess the next thing would be a little bit of both. What do you recommend?
I'd say, what are your strengths? You know, what are your strengths? And I feel like for most people, a combo of content is healthy, right? So, you know, don't just do trends, right? Like, if you just do trends especially using other people's audios, like, I don't get to hear you, and you're an actor. That's kind of, there's a disconnect there, right? I have a client, and actually one of my tech savvy actors that is a voice actor, and I got after her because I was like, I'm tired of seeing just quotes on your feed, and I'm tired of then seeing quotes and then audios with other people. And actually, I don't hear you once on your feed, unless it was like a demo or something, and you're a voice actor. I said, you're good talking to camera. Like, I want to see, now she talks and walks on camera. We hear her. If she's making quotes, their video, they're now, we're hearing the quote, right? Think about what your page is for. So I think it's a healthy combination. And like I said, if you're a voice actor, audiobook narrator, yeah, we should be hearing you, not always hearing other people's voices, right? But also just a healthy mix of not just types of content, but different features on Instagram. This is going back to that. I talked to Instagram today. And that was part of our conversation. And actually they applauded me and said, you know, you're using all different features, all different buttons. And, they did give me a tip that I'm just going to tease. I'm not going to tell right now, cause there'll be
an okay.
That, about something I could add to my reels that I'm not a feature I'm not using that could get me more views. So I'm not talking about it right now, cause I want to test it and then I'll talk about it.
Fair.
But, so are you using different features? So like, are you, you know, are you using, stories, live, reels? Are you using carousel posts? Are you using stickers and polls? Like, your audience consumes content in different ways. So mixing up your content is going to help you reach more people.
That's really, and I think with the evolution of Instagram, I think this is what confuses a lot of people, me included, maybe, is that a lot of the things you would normally save for your stories are now being used for reels. So what I mean by that is, you know, if you're just like walking down the street, like you just said earlier from your client, and you're talking about something in particular, that used to be just sort of saved for stories because posts were a bit longer video or a bit more, or what was the other thing? Or pictures, really, static posts. But now a lot of people are doing the like walk and talk type thing.
But for
reels. Mm-hmm. And so those are like almost like the longer form content of what they had been doing. I mean, I know people who just sit in front and kind of use the TikTok model, sitting in front of a vanity, putting makeup on and just talking to camera about some sort of specific topic. And that is their video that they're posting as a reel. So can you kind of just lend sort of insight as to that? I love the idea of just play to your strengths. And I think that's something that will help a lot of people. But I mean, what do you think about this sort of evolution of storytelling that's now on Instagram?
I think it's great. I think it's great that Instagram isn't like this insta-perfect life anymore. I mean, I'd rather see people that are real people, right? Be mindful, though. If you didn't listen to the part of our episode about going viral, story time works when you're hooking us right away. And sometimes hooking us, if you're putting makeup on, that's hooking me because I'm like, this person's just putting
makeup on. How do you put your makeup on?
Like, that's one thing. I don't put makeup in front of other people.
I don't either.
It's hooking me, right? So immediately they're hooking me and they're probably hooking me with what they said, what came out of their mouth or the text on the screen. So make sure you're hooking me. You're being mindful of watch time because the ones videos that we're seeing that are story time. I mean, somebody like Elise Myers, who's like brilliant at storytelling, right? She hooks us. That watch, she could give me, I could watch her for 10 minutes, but it is edited like that.
I think people forget and they don't realize that a lot of those longer form storytellers, they edit every part. So it looks like a sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's like off the cuff, but it's not.
Off the cuff, but it's not. I mean, she really is taking all dead air mm-hmm. out of those videos.
And she's teasing. She's suspenseful. She brings conflict upon conflict. Like, yeah, she, you know, it is mapped out. It is planned. Now she is brilliant. That is the lead into your strengths, right? Storytelling is her. Like, I'm assuming she's just like that naturally too. But yes, hook, watch time, you know, also adding a call to action, you know, when you're doing these, like, are you getting us engaging? So it's not just about, putting makeup on and talking, but actually if you want those to be seen, you've got to be mindful of the hook, watch time and adding a call to action.
And in fact, Elise Myers is a really good job. I assume she uses probably one of the apps you suggested, but she like puts little, almost like little icons or emojis to tell the story.
Yep.
And I think that that's also a very effective form of storytelling. So people can really sort of, I think also what you're saying is, you know, try different things out. So if you're not aware of exactly what your strength is, try all of them and then decide which one's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think people get really intimidated by all the options and so they sometimes don't even try. So I guess the trick is to just throw spaghetti at the wall because you're being, but you're being strategic in developing your strategy as you go. You don't have to always, you know, be very sort of headstrong about only using one right now. And so I guess the last thing is, what is the best way, in your opinion? I'm sure you get this a lot from actors. How can people use their social media to connect with influential people in the industry? Casting directors, directors, producers, writers. What do you suggest?
Well,
I mean, for me, I use my podcast. So I'm going to connect with those people through the podcast, but what would you suggest?
We need 5 hours for this one. And actually,
right.
Networking beyond posting, because I love doing posting strategy, networking is my favorite thing to teach, actually. Because I mean, social media is the best tool to stay top of mind with the people that already know you and to meet new people, hands down. Tell me another tool, right? This is a huge topic. So let me just give you some big mistakes I see actors making with their networking. Number one, they're not specific with who they want to meet. They see like shiny casting director on a bio and then they're like, ooh, I got to follow that person. I got to follow that casting director. Who are they? you got to get targeted. Like, are they even in your region? Are they, do they cast union, non-union?
If they're really, I mean, I have on my Instagram bio, I say, my agent is like Take Three Talent, for instance. And I've had someone write to me a couple times, be like, hey, I'm an actor. I'm looking for representation. I would love to be represented by Take Three Talent. And I'm like, oh, no. They're my agent. I'm not an agent for them. And I was like, oh shit, do I have to change my bio now? Maybe I do,
their networking is backwards too. So
exactly.
That's part of it. Yeah. So yeah, they're not specific. They're just like, you know, you got to get specific about who you want to meet if that's how you're going to use social, right? Also, they only focus on the Spielbergs is what I call it. So they're focusing on like the biggest director, the biggest casting director, somebody that might not even be running their account, right? Is there someone else, an associate, an assistant, a writer, a producer? Is there somebody else that you can get to know and build a relationship with that might be easier and might be more open to building a relationship online? Okay. Then I'd say the next biggest problem is they're not organized. Whether we're talking about the people who know you or the people who don't know you yet, that's a lot of people. And there's no way you're going to have a networking strategy in place on any network if you don't have a way to organize them. You know, on Twitter or X, as I'm using my arms, I use Twitter List to organize the people I know, the people I want to know. We can use either the favorites tab on Instagram or save post collections to kind of organize our contacts. Because if you don't organize them, we're not guaranteed to see them in our feed, right? With algorithms. And you will just forget. You're going to forget these people that you worked with. And really, the best way to use social media is to use it to stay top of mind with people you already know. And that's when I see actors getting called in for auditions, booking things, because they're always top of mind with their relationships, right? So you got to get organized. And then really their approach to networking is completely backwards. So like what you just saw, this actor doesn't even know you, hasn't built a relationship, and now they want a referral. Like, you've got to know the temperature of the relationship of the person you're reaching out to if they don't know you, right? So, you know, is it ice cold? If it's ice cold, that is not the time to reach out. You've got to warm that up. And that takes time. That takes time. And the good news is the clues are all there. If they have a public Instagram, a public Twitter, like, the clues are there. There's digital intelligence that are talking points between you. And just because this is a huge topic, I'm going to leave your listeners with this. When you're trying to meet someone new online and off, start with their interest, then shared interest, your interest. So their interest, shared interest, your interest. And when you do that and you really make it about them and things they're interested in, joining their conversations at first, they're more likely to listen to you and care about what you have to say because they don't know you yet, right? And when you start your networking that way too, it doesn't feel needy. It doesn't feel pushy because you've made it a we instead of all about me, right? So that's the Reader's Digest version of how to properly network on social media.
So good.
The shared interest, your interest. I need it on.
I love that. Heidi, thank you so much for coming on, for talking about social media specifically for actors. You're just an incredible resource, but also light on this platform we call social media. But I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at marketingforactors4.com. And across social, I'm marketingforactors, actor on Twitter. And my YouTube.com/HeidiDean, the one place I have my name. And I do have a free gift for your listeners. It's 30 days of free post ideas for actors. So 30 ideas that show you both as an actor, but also a human, if that's something you struggle with. The link will be in the description, but also you can go to postlikeaboss.com and it will take you there.
Thank you, Heidi. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'll see you on social.
Yes, we did it. Thank you for listening to this incredible bonus series with social media strategist Heidi Dean. If you have any ideas for our next mini-series, let me know. I did one with the wonderful Kate Bone earlier this year on the book Atomic Habits, which people really loved. And yeah, I'm open to more ideas and suggestions. So let me know on Instagram at Michelle Simone Miller and at Mentors on the Mic. Stay in touch with me. I send emails every once in a while, really. I wouldn't even say every week about the podcast. So join our mailing list. The link is in the show notes. And until next time, mentees, I'm your host, Michelle Simone Miller, and thank you for listening to Mentors on the Mic.